Peter 4, 12 to 14, and 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as to participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and God rests on you. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast out your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. It is John 17, verses 1 to 11. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked towards the heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you grant him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed to you to those whom you gave me on the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain no longer in the world, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Thank you. I'd just like to let you into a secret. Well, it's not a secret, but just something you might not know, that John 17 is one of my favourite, well, it is my favourite chapter in the whole Bible, and especially that fifth verse, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So before I was covered by world views, and world expectations, and where I got lured into the thinking and the ways of the world, sometimes not staying true to my core self, to what I believed. And obviously that's when difficulties start in our lives, and we live a life of compromise. So glorify me with thine own self, sort of take me back to how I was when I was in your image and your likeness, right from the beginning. Wonderful, wonderful chapter. And we continue to see that it all begins with Jesus making God known in the world and encouraging his disciples to carry the baton when he goes. And this 17th chapter is sometimes called the High Priestly Prayer, given in the upper room, and after which Jesus led the disciples across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane, where he was arrested. It's also a prayer in a pastoral nature. You can imagine Jesus praying for you, as I imagine Jesus praying for me. When he prays this prayer to his Father, for his friends, for his followers, he says, "I'm not asking you on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." And Jesus goes on to say, you know, to pray that while I was with them, I protected them in your name. But I'm coming to you now, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. Jesus is praying for the protection and the flourishing and for physical and spiritual well-being of that first group of disciples. The first church, if you like, although they probably didn't know it then. And in this first letter of Peter that we heard from Rob, read so well, we hear him say, "Don't expect that just because you live in faith, there are no obstacles, no tricky times." And don't we know that today? It doesn't matter that we live in faith. We are not immune from the trials and tribulations of the world, or a global pandemic, or illness, or bereavement, or anything that really challenges our faith and our very nature of what it means to be human. Peter says, "Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you. Don't waste your energy, though, on being surprised or wondering how such a strange event has come about." What he says is, focus on what we can do about it. Don't stay in the problem, get in the solution. What can we do to mitigate it, to travel through together as safely, responsibly, and as accurately as we can? We suffer and we share Christ's suffering, all that time on the cross where he suffered for us, and it's almost like we are suffering with him. But he says, keep going. The resurrection tells us, despite the crucifixion, despite what it looked like, the awfulness of it, there was that Easter joy Sunday. And that's what he's saying to us. Keep going. Because after your crucifixion, your Good Friday, there will be that Easter Sunday joy for you in some way. And of course, that's not going to be the same for everybody. But even the joy of being comforted despite the trauma of loss, of illness, that in itself we can be joyful about. He says, hold on for the fulfillment of the promise that you will share with Jesus. We will be led to forgiveness, an overflow of life and reconciliation. God has called us to his eternal joy. And Jesus is calling on the power of God, not the world in its brokenness, but the power of God. But it's not a them and us scenario. What's happening? The world and that glory of God becomes one. It becomes infused. So we can live that glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus connects us to that glory and helps that glory through the Holy Spirit to be sent out from us in the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So the glory spills over into what we say and do, and then into the lives of others. Through the disciples, Jesus is saying that will happen. And he's saying that through us, that will happen. We can be beacons of that glorious light of Christ. He says to them and to us now, I am going, but you are here. And you are being sent out in the world as I was. If you love me, then you love God. And if you love God, you love those in the world, no matter what. And that's the tricky bit, isn't it? We have to love the unlovely very often. And that comes with spiritual practice, to love as God loves. And the sanctification that he bestows upon us, the blessing, the making holy, it happens when we simply live out the truth. And the truth is love, inside the church and outside. We become a church without walls. Church, community, community, church, we're all one in that blessing of the Spirit of God, of love. So this is sending out prayer to help us to be able to live in the world through the word. And they do that later on in Acts. We find out more about how they do that. They regroup. They take a deep breath after the crucifixion and the resurrection, after the ascension, when Jesus has been lifted up. They're on their own. But they put the trauma behind them and they go forward. They find a replacement for Judas. They prayerfully and intentionally seek out to do that, to make up their tribe of 12 again, to regroup. And the prayer has slowed them down so they can watch and wait and listen to God's call, God's nudge, which way to go. And that's what we're called today, to intentionally pray and watch and wait. And we're specifically doing that this week in the Thy Kingdom Come. We are being called to prayer. I will be praying every day at 9 o'clock. In the morning, I've invited others to join me, to be praying in your homes at 9 o'clock, to pray the Lord's Prayer, to ponder what that means. This is about transformation, redemption, and the world in a new way, redeemed in the old. So it isn't that we discard all the old ways, but we redeem them with the wisdom and the experience that we've gleaned through lockdown. Kinder, slower, more patient, knowing the values in life, knowing that the new car, the new house, the shops, the top-notch job, they're all fantastic when they are in their right place. That's not what we're about. In the lockdown, we've been talking about the birds, about the trees, the nature, the beauty of the rhododendrons, the beauty of the roses, the freedom to walk in and have time to soak up nature. They have become the focus and our aim in a daily experience, to be able to go and enjoy these natural things, this natural beauty. We're not driven by material things as much as we were. And so we can enjoy those material things. We can be the master of them though now, instead of the servant. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Don't you get a sense of God speaking to you during this time, saying to you? I know he said to me in my own prayers, slow down, take a deep breath and regroup, refocus, and I will send you out in a deeper power, a deeper spirit of knowing who you truly are, and not to be validated by things of this world. So between Ascension and Pentecost, we're told the disciples prayed daily, And that's what we're doing. To be empowered to live out the good news. And just like the first church community, we will pray continually and intentionally. So the experience of God's grace, His glory, will be known. In Jesus' name, on earth, through His disciples, through His followers, through ours, through you and through me. And we can remember, of course, that Jesus blessed the disciples at the time of His departure. And today He blesses us. We are blessed as we live out His commands, His longings for peace to reign on earth. So in the spirit of that Jesus joy and hope and promise, we pray in His name, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. Amen.